In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of the women.
All right, and welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And I am your producer, Marty Berthelmer, a.k.a. Shecky Feldstein.
Shecky, so nice to see you today. And, of course, today only, we have our very special guest. We have Miss Sarah here on my left here, and she is going to be talking to us as a perspective from... how would you want to say it? Perspectives from a non-comic book person talking about comic books, because she went to Fan Expo and she's going to talk to us a little bit about her perspective on comics. Sarah, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Chris.
Yes.
You called her Miss. There's a rock on her finger. Like that.
Well, you know
no amount of charm is going to get rid of that, Chris.
I've been told it's similar to a strobe light.
It does kind of look like that. Yeah, it's pretty big.
We could have a dance party, Chris. Yeah, is that what you're getting at?
Well, you know... I wasn't trying to, but you know, maybe a little under the disco ball.
Can comic
later
nerds
on.
Dance, Chris?
Yes, usually by themselves though.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. And of course, to my right, we have the young buck, Andrew Roebuck, who is our engineer, helping us along the way through comic culture. Now, we are here, of course, to champion the local comic book shop, talking about local comic book news and all that kind of stuff. Now, of course, later in the show, we're going to talk about Fan Expo, and of course, Miss Sarah is going to talk. Mrs. Sarah.
No, I like Miss Sarah.
I was trying to be kind of like formal, you know. It was just kind of like a
Miss Sarah.
You know, it was like a Southern Belle, like I do declare. You know.
Yeah, that's how you talk, I guess, normally. Well,
whatever. Yeah. All right. So, anyways, she's going to talk to us a little bit about. Her experience at Fan Expo and all that kind of stuff.
But we won't get to that right now, Chris.
No, right now. Right now, we are going to go to New This Week.
Absolutely, Chris. And as always, I dig through the depths of possible sponsors.
Yeah? And did you get one?
And as usual, it's the same ragtag group. So,
and who's sponsoring our show today?
So for New This Week... It's brought to you by Fan Expo 2014, where they swear they've learned from their organizational mistakes, the ones they have kept making.
Yeah, well, you know, that happens. Wait, but you know what? Fan Expo was bought out by that company, a giant Swiss company. I don't remember the name of it. Informa,
Lint
I think it's
Chocolate.
No, I think it's Informa. And, you know, Lint Chocolate. Now, every guest is going to get a little Lint ball when they come in.
Yeah, but it's during summer. What if it melts in your pocket? Because
well,
it gets hot.
Then you'll have a couple of melted Lint balls.
Oh, that's great. Do they pay for your dry cleaning?
Yeah, maybe. All right, let's talk about New This Week, because, of course, today is Wednesday, New Comic Book Day. So the first one I want to talk about is Deadpool number 15. This is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Now, this has Wolverine, Captain America, and Deadpool in it. And I thought I'd bring this up because this is kind of a neat little team-up. For those of you who are in the know for comic book stuff, it looks kind of interesting. Now, Miss Sarah, have you seen the Marvel movies? Have you seen Captain America or the Wolverine or any of those kind of movies yet?
I've seen some. I have not seen Captain America.
Okay, well, that's all right. It's a good movie. You should see it. But have you seen like the X-Men movies and stuff like that?
Yes.
So you know who Wolverine is and
yes.
Perfect. All right. Well, there's a character Deadpool and he's become really popular and I actually just bought his first appearance on the weekend.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I know.
More about
well,
scoops.
I paid $30 for a comic that's probably worth a little bit more than that. So there you go.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
Like 20 cents more?
Probably about that. Yeah. I think it's $31.20.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, I guess we're done with this one. You really picked this book to talk about your score at the convention.
Pretty much. I thought you might have something to add to it.
No, I just thought that you picked it because you liked the video game so much. But
well,
really,
I do like the Deadpool video game.
Really, yes, it's about true. The 20 cents you're making all over the
place.
Well,
I had to let people know.
Well, that one, amongst others, local comic book shop shelves today.
Okay. All right. Captain America, number 10. This is by Rick Remender, John Romita, Klaus Janson, and... what's his name here? White. Somebody White. Here we go. Dean White and Rochelle Rosenberg are doing the art on this one. This is a really interesting comic. You know, they've got... for those of you who know who Arnim Zola is from the Captain America movie, Arnim Zola was this crazy person who now, you know, put his head in a robot body kind of thing. And he created his own, like, universe. They called it Dementia Z. So Captain America was trapped in Dementia Z. It's really weird sounding, but it actually ended up being a really interesting story. Captain America becomes a surrogate father to these little kids and stuff. Different Captain America story than I've ever read before.
I don't follow you, Chris.
What do you mean you don't follow me? What's there not to follow? I just mentioned it's a great story.
So he's trapped him in his mind?
No, it's an actual, like, it's a miniaturized world.
Oh, so the guy's got dementia and he's imagining everything.
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much. Well, it could be more than that, though. We don't know. We'll still find out.
Sounds like
me on a
daily
basis. But there were some plot twists that said that actually S.H.I.E.L.D. came in and said that, in fact, this was all just in Captain America's head, and we don't really know if this is all true or not.
So what a cop-out.
Yeah, I know.
What a wimp-out.
I know. Very interesting, though.
If you say so, you can find that on your shelves today.
All right. Next up, we've got Batman Superman by Greg Pak and Jay Lee. Now, this is an interesting book. So this is kind of on the heels of what's happening in New 52, and of course we've got Trinity and the whole Villains Month coming up next month or coming up soon. I don't know, this month, I guess it is. This book it's a really good looking book. Of course, Jay Lee never seems to phone anything in. He does his best on it, and it's got evil Superman in it, and it's got Batman, and it's got Wonder Woman in it, and they're fighting Darkseid in the end. So, a really good looking book. I highly recommend it. It's by Greg Pak, who also did all the Hulk books back from Marvel with when Hulk was on the other worlds and fighting Hulk World War Hulk kind of thing. So,
and it is really relevant because the Batman Superman movie down the
yes.
line. Is of big news as
yes.
of late, which
I know.
We will get into shortly.
We will talk about that mm-hmm. momentarily.
But for now, you can just read the book at your local comic book shelves.
Don't read it there. Buy it and then read it when you go home.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know.
What if they buy a latte? Can you read it for free if you buy a latte in the store?
If you go to like Indigo or something like that. But we're here to champion the local comic book shop, and most of them don't have latte places.
What if it's my local...
Local latte place?
My local chapters.
Yeah, well, you know what? Some stores do have coffee shops. Yeah. Silver Snail in Toronto does have that. So, you know, if they allow that, you're more than welcome to.
So I can drive to Toronto from Hamilton and read a book for free?
Yes.
You
might be able to do that.
All right.
All right. So last up, second to last up, I want to talk about another DC book here. And this is Trinity War with the Justice League. And interesting book. It's got all kinds of crazy villains in it that come from, you know, other Earths rather. Like we've got we've got Starro, the World Conqueror, and then of course we've got all the villains from Earth 3 that come through and part of the crime syndicate kind of thing. But it's funny. This has all been sort of masterminded by one person in the background, and it's kind of a cop out. Because I'm going to give a spoiler alert here.
Uh-oh, spoiler
beep,
alert.
Beep, spoiler alert. Because, so for those of you, I'm going to go get really nerdy here for a second. So there's, in the DC universe, there are different worlds, or the different Earths. So there's the regular Earth 1, where we see all the regular kind of characters that we have. And then there's like Earth 3, where there's like an evil version of everybody in that Earth.
What happened to Earth 2?
We don't know. Well, there's another Earth 2 going, a comic going on, but we're not talking about them right now.
Okay, well, continue.
So there's an Earth 3, which is all the evil versions of all the characters. And, spoiler alert, as I said, the mastermind behind all the Earth 3 characters coming to Earth, our Earth, is none other than Alfred the Butler from Batman.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Michael Caine.
So, as our young buck pointed out to me earlier, there's even a line that says, as you say in your world, the butler did it. How lame is that?
I don't know. It's kind of jazzy if it's Michael Caine.
It's not Michael Caine. Oh. It's Alfred the Butler.
All right, I got to get that out of my head. Well,
yeah.
Either way, you can read all about this craziness at your local book, your local comic book shop, where you can then buy it after you read it, as I've been corrected.
That's right. All right, finally, but certainly not least, I have to talk about my good buddy Art Balthasar and Franco taking on the Hellboy franchise.
Ooh.
So this is sort of a kitty-like version of the Hellboy characters.
With the pink cover, I hope it's a kitty version.
Yeah, pink cover and all the, you know, cutie little characters here. It's awesome. They've basically taken on Mike Mignola's famous book here of Hellboy, and I don't know, it looks really great. It's like kind of cutie. Sarah, would you ever buy your kids or nieces or nephews a book that has a little kid hell demon on it?
Probably not, mostly because that lobster thing's freaking me out.
The lobster thing. Oh, yeah, well, that is kind of the blue lobster guy. Yeah, that's the claw.
Just hold on one second. My question is, why is the front look kid-friendly, but the back a little creepy?
Yeah, well, okay, so the back has an ad for Payday 2, which is a video game, and it's got killer clowns, and it says blood, drug references, intense violence, strong language. You make a very good point.
No, that's perfect advertising.
Yeah, a very, very
That'll
good
make
point.
Them grow up real quick.
Yeah, right. But that is a good looking book nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. And you can find that, amongst others, local comic book shelves.
All right. Well, listen.
Store shelves. Wow, listen. Chris. Tongue twisters today.
Tongue,
hey.
Sorry. You have a book, too.
Yeah, that's what it is. You're trying to speed right through Shecky's pick of the week.
Sorry, Shecky.
Here it is. Aquaman 23, Chris. Aquaman.
Do you want me to play that? I can play that later on if you want.
Nah, you think you can do things.
I probably should, shouldn't I?
Nah, I don't want to give you a big head. Okay, so we've got Aquaman 23, Jeff Johns, Paul Pelletier, Sean Parsons.
Paul Pelletier, yeah.
Yeah, that one too.
Yeah.
He can join the group.
Okay,
so,
and?
Apparently in this, Atlantis is doomed, or so says the cover.
Well, it usually is based on
the cover,
yep.
It could be doomed.
Yep.
We don't really know. But what you do know is this, Chris.
What's that?
I picked it because I immediately thought of my favorite show that just kind of, I guess it stopped airing a couple years ago. It was my favorite show. You know, young actor, you know, producer in the media, the entertainment, the arts.
Entourage?
Entourage.
Hey!
Aquaman is a big part of it. James Cameron directs it. It beats out Spidey at the biggest box office weekend ever, and everything. It just made me think of that. Because in Entourage, they went and they debuted, they premiered, they promoted at Comic-Con in San Diego.
Oh.
And with Fan Expo just having happened, it really struck a chord with me.
Right.
And so while we try and prepare it for the segue into the later Fan Expo section of the show,
yeah,
I thought of that.
Nice.
That's all there is to it.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Well, I like that. Well, we are going to be talking about Fan Expo later on. But as of right now, you did cue me in. I do have to play the Aquaman song.
So I knew it.
Here it is for old time's sake, Aquaman.
Aquaman. Aquaman.
I feel like you played that just for me.
I did. I played that just for you.
I appreciated that 110%. Thank you, Chris.
That's great. That's good. Well, you know what? We are going to talk about industry news. Oh, sorry. No, we have mailbag. I always forget about mailbag.
Why do you forget about that?
I don't know.
Yeah. I want to call you something bag. Mailbag, that is.
Yeah. Why you got to be like that?
Ah, come on. Now, hey, mailbag for this week is brought to you by HammerCon 2013. Hopefully learning from Fan Expo's mistakes.
I think it's called Hammertown Comics. Hammertown Com.
That's not what they sent me in the thing.
Okay, maybe they haven't got the memo yet.
Maybe they didn't want to pay for the extra ink and the extra word.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a very light budget.
Yeah. For now, it's a first year. Come on, give it a chance. Anyway, so for the mailbag.
Yes.
Dear Chris, I recently went on an online comic binge trying to pick up some deals, and I came across Hulk Annual Number 5, second appearance Groot.
Nice.
And it's already rocketing. Is every terrible character going to rocket just because they appear in a movie? I mean, Groot, what the heck is Groot anyway? Alex from Etobicoke.
Alex, great, great question. You know what? You could not give that comic away 4 months ago.
No, like what? You know, quarter bins.
Quarter bins. Quarter bins all the way.
12 and a half cent bins.
But then, you know, they go ahead and they talk about this new Guardians of the Galaxy movie appearing from Marvel, and it's part of the Marvel Phase 2 projects. And now Groot was this character, you know, that appeared in the early 60s and, you know, it did not appear again until Hulk Annual Number 5. Nobody cared about it. Hulk goes and you know, decides to, you know, basically fight all these old giant monsters that appeared in old Marvels.
Actually, yeah, because he's just a tree.
Yeah, that's right. He's just a tree. All he says in the entire book is, I am Groot. That's all he says any time. I am Groot.
Mm.
Well, and so now, all of a sudden, they get Vin Diesel, who's possibly going to sign on as the voice of Groot for the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. So now, all of a sudden, people are all going up in arms for this Hulk appearance because the original appearance is, like, impossible to find. So maybe you might actually be able to find this Groot.
Just because it was thrown out or used as toilet paper
pretty
or
much,
something.
Yeah,
yeah,
pretty
okay.
much. And, you know, as I said, a few months ago, quarter bins all the way, now selling for up to $40 on eBay, ridiculous prices it's reaching. You know, if you really want to go ahead and try to buy all the ridiculous giant monster comics out there, go right ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you will lose money in the end if you're doing it as an investment.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, when the first Spider-Man, say, film hit, or, you know, the one with Bane, the third Batman, you know, film, and then all the first appearance Bane books, you know, just went right up. That makes sense. These are lovable characters. These are characters that you love seeing on the screen. They make movies great.
Yeah.
Groot. Like,
I am Groot. That's all he says.
Is it more Groot appearing in a film, or is it just Vin Diesel voicing him?
I think a little bit of both.
Yeah.
A little bit of, you know, Vin Diesel put on his Facebook a picture of Groot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's trying to, I mean, it hasn't even been confirmed yet that he's going to be playing Groot.
Yeah. So people could be blowing their wads on these Groots.
Absolutely.
And they ain't got nothing to show for if he's not even confirmed.
If there's one thing I can recommend to people, don't blow your wad on a Groot.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, now I have a question for our femme cohort over here. So let's say, you know, Babysitter's Club is put into a movie, and one of the girl, you know, say it's an anime movie, and one of the girl, I'm assuming it's a girl, who's the babysitter in the club, one of them. So she's going to be voiced by someone, I don't know, like crazy Miley Cyrus girl, Hannah Montana, you know, because she's crazy, but she's popular. Does that mean you're going to run out and buy every book that this girl ever appeared in? Like, would that be sensible to you?
No, unless Miley had that foam finger.
Oh,
then
right.
I might think about it. No.
Oh, man. She does not even look close to what she ever looked like.
No.
No. I personally believe that when it comes to certain celebrities taking on characters in comics and things like that, that it's more of a mainstream thing and it's what's popular right now, right? Everyone wants to be in the loop. So if one person says it on Facebook or talks about it, the other person wants to be included and then the next person wants to be included, right? Because they all want to kind of follow their celebrity, right? It doesn't mean that they necessarily like it.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's even heightened when you combine that with old vintage comics, something that's already collectible, that's, you know, each of them are maybe 40, 50 years old, the ones you're talking about when you get to first appearances of these characters. All right. Well, see,
interesting.
She verifies that. That's a girl verifying that guys are not crazy for collecting old books. No, that's what it was. That's what I took from it.
Did you listen to the same thing I did?
I don't know. I'm making it up as I go, Chris.
As long as I can buy a pair of shoes for every old comic, we're good.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, heaven forbid a guy stops a girl from buying a pair of shoes.
That's not ever happening.
No, then he's in for some scorn.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right. Listen, let's move on to industry news. And do we have a sponsor for industry news?
This industry news is brought to you by the Joe Shuster Awards.
Oh.
That's it.
Oh.
No, they just, you know, again, I think they're saving on ink
nice.
As well.
Nice. Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
But, you know, it's very relative, though, Chris. And, again, when we get to the Fan Expo section,
we'll talk about it. All right. So we have to talk about industry news. We have to talk about the topic that has basically broken the internet, split in two. Ben Affleck is Batman.
That's Did you say Affleck?
Affleck.
Like the duck says?
That's right. Ben Affleck.
All right.
Is Batman. People are sending death threats to Warner Brothers.
No, they're not.
They are.
Is it you, Chris? Is it you?
No, I could care less.
Oh.
It is not me, but people are sending death threats.
Wow.
Warning that this should never be happening. But it's interesting. Now, Miss Sarah, are you a Ben Affleck fan? Do you like him at all?
No.
No. Did you ever, because he's too plain looking or can't act?
No, he can't. But my thing is, I'm just going to go into my view on the whole thing. I believe that if they were going to choose somebody for Batman, it shouldn't be somebody that's already known.
Oh, okay. So you just go with like the no name.
I believe it should be a no name, because when you're looking at something like that and you're comparing it to Christian Bale, and you're comparing it to, you know, Tim Burton's Michael Keaton version and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily always going to be impressed. And when you think of Ben Affleck and you think of past movies and stuff, you already have your assumptions, right?
Where
if it's a no name and you don't know anything about it, you have no prejudgment on what you're going to be watching.
Oh, that's a very good point.
You know what I think? This is my strong opinion, okay?
Okay.
So they went out and they found Ben Affleck because he's hot off of Argo, right? Wins another Oscar, which I'm guessing everyone thought he had no chance.
He's won the second Oscar.
He's won it for screenwriting Good Will Hunting.
Yep.
Technically, he didn't win the Oscar, but his movie did.
No, he...
Argo, he didn't get a...
No,
nominated.
He won for best screenplay.
Yeah. Anyways.
No, for Good Will Hunting.
For Good Will Hunting.
He didn't win another one for Argo.
Yeah, he did. When a film wins best film, the producer wins it because he put together the entire film. As a producer, I stand behind this.
Right.
Just like this radio show when I win an award for that one day.
Oh, well, let's hope so.
Anyway, no one ever thought he'd ever win another one, but he did.
Yeah.
And so he's hot off that.
Yep.
People love the film, and it's like, hey, why not cast, you know, a getting to middle-aged man, good-looking guy, little rough, chiseled jaw who can play Batman.
Yeah.
But everyone just remembers Daredevil. They don't care about Argo.
It's not even that everybody remembers Daredevil. Everybody's remembering all the other terrible movies that he's been in.
Like Geely?
Yeah, Geely and whatever, right? And you know what? Granted, he didn't have a huge part in Argo, but I thought he did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen him in other movies. I think he always does a decent job. And I hate to say it, but you know what? Christopher Nolan, who's producing this, he's still producing the Batman-Superman movie. He did give us the other Batmans, and mm-hmm. he must know what he's doing to some degree, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's actually a good choice. What I find interesting is if people sometimes really aren't too sure about casting choices, we have to think about the Joker. Now, you guys all saw, you know, the Batman: The Dark Knight, right? With
yes.
Heath Ledger as the Joker,
of course.
Well, so. Heath Ledger, you know, he was in A Knight's Tale before that,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of like that, you know, medieval comedy, romantic,
musical thing. Yeah.
And then 10 Things About I Hate About You, which is like a romantic kind of comedy type
thing. Oh, it's fun, Chris. Didn't you love it?
Yeah. So, you know what? So everybody was saying, oh, how could you possibly cast Heath Ledger as the Joker? You know, how can you possibly do this? People were saying, probably the worst casting of all time. This is totally bull. I don't like this choice. And now begins a second downfall of the Batman series. You know, people were just going crazy with how bad it was, and then the guy goes ahead and wins an Oscar for his portrayal as the Joker, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
let's not forget that, you know, there are some good, reasonable casting choices, even though we haven't liked them at the time. I say let's give the guy a chance. Let's see what he can come up with. He is a comic book fan, so maybe he'll really do something good for it.
Hey, let's hope so. I mean, the movie's still a little ways away.
Yeah.
You know, many ways. You know,
oh, many,
long,
many,
long
many years. Yeah.
Well, what, 2 years and a half?
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know what? There's still lots of time to see other things, other developments, screenshots, you know, posters, trailers. You know, reserve your judgment until you have more than just a casting selection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. You know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude here before we continue on.
Is it more Aquaman, Chris?
No. Let's go with, I don't know. How about, let's go with a little bit of some Rob Zombie. And that was Meet the Creeper.
Chris, it just wasn't the same feel as my Aquaman.
Yeah, I know. It really isn't. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, I'll get something better for next time.
Yeah.
You know what I still have to play yet? As we've said.
I know what you have to play.
Krantz in every radio show.
Yep. We'll be Krantzing all over the place.
Krantzing all over it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's continue on. And
the second part of industry news.
Yes.
This time brought to you by Ben Affleck. If I don't make a great Batman, well, too bad, because I'll still get paid anyway.
Hey, it's very.
Suck it.
You know what? Suck it. I believe he said that, too.
You know what? You know what's funny about this, too? Well, so, okay, again, we have to touch on the Fan Expo and pretty much every topic we discuss that isn't Fan Expo.
Yeah.
But so, to do with Ben Affleck, at the Expo, I saw a guy who hand makes his own buttons. Like, I guess he's got his own little button press.
Like a button pin?
Yeah, button pin, right?
Yeah.
And so it simply had, you know, his face, probably from somewhere in the late 90s, because it still looked, you know, young and fashionable and everything. And it said, "Not my Batman."
Oh, he was already making those, eh? That's sad. You know what?
Yeah, that was only 2 days after the announcement. That was on, like, the Friday
and yet
or Saturday.
No one really hates Val Kilmer after all this.
No, he did.
He did Batman.
He did Years in Tibet. He did a good blind man movie.
Years in Tibet. I thought that was Brad Pitt.
Okay, well, he did the blind one. No, the other one. he did the one where he's like a blind
guy. Yeah, I did that. Yeah.
See, he played a heartwarming blind guy, and Ben Affleck didn't.
That's true. Yeah.
That's what I was getting at.
Okay. Good job. All right, listen, let's continue on here. Very briefly, I want to talk about the character Lobo. Now, do you guys know who Lobo is? My young producer, young Buck over here does. Do you know who Lobo is, Marty? Shecky?
You should ask the girl.
I know she doesn't. So I'm not even gonna ask.
So
that.
I finally have someone that I'm on even level
with. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, so Lobo was meant to be like DC's answer to Wolverine. He was like this badass character who goes around killing people. And
well, it must have flopped because I haven't heard of Lobo.
You know what? It was a fun comic, but never really all that well written. It was a good gag. You know, he would wear shirts that say "Bite Me, Fanboy" on it and stuff like that, or jackets. And
sounds like he's more like Deadpool then.
Yeah, kind of. He was kind of a cross between Deadpool and Wolverine. It never really quite took. Anyways, it's coming about again. Lobo is going to be appearing in the New 52. Apparently, he's already made an appearance, but apparently that wasn't the real Lobo. There's going to be a new Lobo coming out, and with a new design. And it's going to be written by Marguerite Benet, and the internet is also a little bit of a buzz with that, because I guess she made a point of saying, hey, you know what, if you don't like it, you know, at least try reading it first. And so she kind of has been, you know, standing up for the character and standing up for her writing, and people are already trying to put it down, and she's saying, look, you know what, read the first four pages. If you hate it, then email me, but at least give it a chance.
See,
right?
Same thing with Affleck.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
It's all relative.
That's right.
DC is all on the train of give us a chance. Give us a freaking chance.
That's right. I agree. All right, so that's all I wanted to say about Lobo. Next thing I do need to talk about, though, is now, big announcement on the weekend. Speaking of DC, Justice League Canada will be appearing in the comic book stores on their comic book rack in 2014.
So is this like an additional? They're making another Justice League?
They are making another Justice League. This is going to be Justice League Canada. Now, back in like the 90s, they had Justice League Europe and Justice League International. This is going to be Justice League Canada. It is going to be a team settled in Canada. Who have a whole bunch of different superpowers. Now, I don't know who the characters are. There's going to be a mix of some current characters as well as some brand new characters.
Mm-hmm. But I think
replacing Justice League.
Yeah, I was going to say that the big thing is it's replacing Justice League of America.
Yes,
like that's no more. Like it's making a transition.
I was getting to that. So it's going to be
Young Buck. Slow your horses. Slow your bucks.
So it's actually going to replace Justice League of America. It's going to be Justice League Canada, and not only is it going to be Justice League Canada. It's also going to be written by our very own Jeff Lemire.
Oh, I like that.
Hot off, Sweet Tooth and all these other great books. Animal Man.
You stole it. You said what I was going to say. I got a sweet tooth for Jeff Lemire.
Well, it's
and you know what? What else he's hot off of? Something we'll talk about in a bit.
That's right. I didn't want to spoil your bit there.
This boy has it going on.
I know.
And I saw him on the weekend, too.
Did
very
you?
Very nice, mild-mannered gentleman.
All right. Well, you know what? That's all I really wanted to say. So Justice League Canada coming in 2014. This is like, it's going to be awesome, right? Because finally we're going to see some Canadian landscapes back in comic books. Seeing as we don't have Alpha Flight around that much anymore, it'd be nice to see some more Canadiana.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? This might actually make me read a comic book for once. Chris.
Hey, well,
you never know.
It's a good thing that you're producing our show about comics.
Here's to hoping, Chris.
Yeah. All right. Let's continue on. Fan Expo recap.
Are we there already?
We got to talk about
Finally.
Fan Expo. Finally. All right.
Thought
and
that's, never get
this,
here.
This is where we're going to be talking with our a good friend, Miss Sarah, here about her experiences as well. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about Schuster's first, or do we want to talk about here?
Oh, Chris. The forum is open to whatever you choose first because there's so many subtopics in the Fan Expo.
Okay.
We took so much in this year that there's too much. There's half of a show to talk about.
Let's get Miss Sarah in on the conversation here.
Yes.
And I want to know, so Miss Sarah, this was your first comic book show of its size, right? This is the first time you've been to Fan Expo, which is, I don't even know if you know, this is the third largest show, debatable if it's second or not, but third largest show of its kind in North America. So it's a really big show. Over 100,000 people attended this year. So what did you think of it?
I was kind of introduced to it by a little bit of research online, so I wasn't quite... I thought I was going to be more prepared than I was. There was a lot of people. I did get to meet an artist who I actually adore. It's funny you played Rob Zombie earlier because he did do some of Rob Zombie's stuff. Nat Jones.
Nice.
I purchased one of his paintings and I absolutely
Like an original painting or like a
no,
print?
No, not an original. He only had prints with him.
Okay.
He's doing a new book coming out. It's going to be a collaboration between horror and fairy based on his dad's love for horror and his mom's love for fairies.
Oh, cool.
So, I mean, it's actually really nice. It was the tamest piece that he had that I could put up in my house, but
it was a little gory, was it, or a little dark?
No, that one was really good. He has one called The Screamer, which I figured my 10-year-old stepdaughter might scream when she saw. So
right, yes.
I went with the tamest of anything, so that
was that one called The Tamer.
Maybe.
Nice.
Maybe subtitled.
Nice. All right.
No, it was okay. I was very disappointed in security. I felt that a lot of people spent a lot of money to go and meet their idols, meet people that they like, went for a very good time. I felt security was a little pushy. I understand, you need to keep things under control and you need to make sure that people aren't just, running everywhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
But at the same time, if your child is going up to have an autograph, yelling at the parent for standing on the red carpet to take a picture, to me is a little inappropriate.
So what happened there? So if you can you explain that a little bit more? Like so, something.
A little girl went up with her My Little Pony to get an autograph from one of the voices,
oh.
And the parent wanted to take a picture, and security was quite vocal and adamant with making sure they stood off of the red carpet.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay.
It was probably a brony who was jealous. That
exactly.
They were getting
the
photo.
Exactly. That's right.
What it was. Yeah. They wanted the photo.
Yeah. All to themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I did not know what the heck a brony was until I was there, and it's interesting.
Yeah. So okay. So this is your first. I mean, I know you went to the Niagara Comic Con.
Yes.
But this was a little bit different from that because there's more people dressed up. There's more. I don't know how to describe it. More extreme fans at this show than there is other shows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So did that put you off at all, or did you sort of like try to take it all in?
I observed a lot. There were a lot of costumes. There was a lot of cosplay. There was a lot of people dressed up in their thing and extreme fans, as you said. To be honest with you, I noticed more at the Niagara event. I think it was just because maybe I was already used to it, or maybe just because of the quantity of people that were there,
right,
or the fact that I wasn't paying as much attention. There were some great costumes. There were some interesting costumes, but
okay. Well, no. So you pause there. So what? Yeah. What was the interesting costume that obviously sticks out in your memory?
Well, I saw the one from. It was a Rick Moranis character, the little black helmet thing.
Oh, the dark helmet, yeah. From Spaceballs,
yeah, whatever that was. Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah,
that one stands out. There were
was it the guy dressed up as Sailor Moon?
I did not see that.
Okay,
there was a guy dressed up as female characters all weekend.
Yeah,
long,
there was
as always.
There was.
Which there's nothing wrong with.
No, I agree.
But just noting that it occurs.
But that can be. Shocking, I guess, to some people,
same as a girl walking around in a thong.
Absolutely. We saw some of that.
But that's a good kind of shocking.
Well,
usually.
Depends on your point of view.
Yeah. There was a lot of spandex and leotard.
Yes, there is a lot of that.
Was there anything that you found either somewhat or much, on the terms of offensive?
No.
Because no, so you're all for it. Like, everything that happens at Fan Expo, cosplay-wise, it's cool. Go for it.
I think that there were some extremes, but again, just because somebody likes something, it doesn't necessarily define that person. So if somebody wants to go to an event and feels they want to dress up or they want to represent part of who they are they may not be every day, I'm all for it, 100%.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. And you know what? I didn't really see it. Like, no one takes it too far.
No.
There were obviously a lot of people showing all kinds of body parts.
Yes, there was.
Whether they should or shouldn't, that's debatable.
Yeah.
But no one was like, no one had, racial slurs written on a t-shirt, or no one had any of that. So, it's all good, clean fun. People are doing it because they're fans and because they love what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, Ms. Sarah, if you don't mind me bringing up, so you weren't dressed up, but you were dressed
to kill.
Yeah. You were looking pretty hot that day, and people were wanting to take your photograph. Like, how did that make you feel?
It was expected. I have been numerous places where people ask for my photograph. I tried to keep it kind of limited, kind of a personal respect thing.
Right.
And also, I wasn't actually dressed in costumes. So, I mean, to go home and to show, family members and say, oh, this is what I saw. What is she dressed as?
You really have
nothing to go with.
Fair enough.
It is flattering. I had some moms come up to me and ask me for my picture and things like that.
Oh, that's nice.
So, it was nice. Like, people were very respectful in that aspect.
Yep, yep.
I'm sure pictures are taken all over without people knowing. But
sure.
I did find that the crowd was very respectful. There was no pushing. There was no...
There was no name calling or anything like that.
No,
was there,
brushing
right?
past.
Yeah.
No
cat calls.
No
nothing
cat
like
calls.
That.
No, like...
No, a few proposals, but...
Oh, well yeah, but that's still flattering. That's still flattering, though, right?
Yeah, but when they're from Chris, it doesn't count.
Oh. Clearly, they didn't see the rock on your finger.
No.
So...
No, and that... Actually, the funniest thing, I have to admit, my husband admitted it as well. He was with me, and he happened to take off for a moment, and this guy approached me and asked me for my picture, and I, politely declined and said, I'm sorry, not right now. I started to walk away, and he proceeded to walk with me. my husband, happened to walk up. He thinks that the whole thing is funny. He's not, not a very jealous person or anything like that. So he walked up and just kind of took one look, and the guy took one look at my hand and conveniently just turned around and walked away. Like nothing ever happened.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
Could you only imagine how many hookups and stuff is going on, Chris?
Well, you know, that is another topic of conversation because mm-hmm. you and I were talking earlier about I did not go on Craigslist for this Fan Expo, but apparently...
But the past ones you have, you've been there?
But that's how we met.
Oh!
Weren't you, like, desperate for love 69 yeah. or something?
Whoa, hey-o. Is that the year you're born, Chris?
53.
I am not, 60 years old. 53? You're not even close to that. Anyways, no, that is not how we met, through Craigslist.
How did we meet?
I don't know. I don't really remember. Weren't you walking down the street and you dropped a penny or something? I don't know. I don't really remember now.
And then you stared at her while she picked it up?
Pretty much, yeah. All right, so anyways, Craigslist. Apparently, people do like to advertise on Craigslist that they're going to be at the Fan Expo and they wish to hook up.
Mm-hmm.
This apparently is happening a lot at Dragon Con.
Dragon Con, yeah, this isn't really diverting because this is still convention relative, but Dragon Con is the one. You know, as I've said before in the past on some of our shows, Dragon Con is the one where people actively seem to be seeking
yeah.
relationships of some kind with other fellow cosplayers
right.
or, you know, whether it's a furry thing or even if it's just a fan thing, you know, other fans they want to hook up with.
You know, okay, speaking of furry, I actually saw more people dressed in furry costumes this convention than any other time I've ever been at any other conventions. I mean, not that there's a whole lot. I saw maybe like 5 or 6, mm-hmm. but still that's way
I
more
saw,
than...
I saw a few as well, and you don't know what to make of it
no,
at the show, right?
I really don't know what to think when I see a giant fox standing in front of me.
Well,
or
a couple of thoughts that you could think of might be wrong, Chris.
No. Well, yes, they're definitely wrong, but I would not be thinking those.
Oh, okay, yes. right.
I don't get it myself. I'm sure mm-hmm. there are a lot of people out there who find people dressed in furry costumes exciting, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I just don't get it myself. Did you see any of those, Miss Sarah?
Not at this one. I did see them at the Niagara one. The main purpose of it is for people who may not feel that they are attractive enough or that they may be too shy. It's a way for people to be able to interact with one another in such manner without feeling ashamed of how they look.
Oh, well, there you go.
This
is why she's on the show.
You know, whereas if that were Walt over there, you know, who knows? He'd just be saying that ponies can't hang out with foxes.
Exactly.
You know, that's all
exactly.
he'd be yelling about.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But... So, to go into something that we can't really go into, the gist of it is, Craigslist has a lot of personal ads
yes.
for Dragon Con, and I think there were some for Fan Expo, but they are sometimes racy.
Yes, but we can't talk about that on the air.
We can't really do that, but you know what? If you are of age, let's hope.
Yes.
Hope to God. You're of age. You can go onto Craigslist and check out some of the personals that came through. I think bleedingcool.com. I don't know if it's Bleeding Cool News.
Yeah.
Bleedingcool.com.
Bleedingcool.com, yeah.
They do a review every year for the Dragon Con personals on Craigslist. So you can actually find the article with the highlights, the best in show.
Hey, you know, and you know what? Here, the reality of it is, who cares? If somebody's single, single and they want to hook up at a comic book show or whatever it is, go right ahead.
But there is some tact to it, Chris.
Yes.
And people that are highlighted don't have
they
that,
They do not
Chris.
Have the tact.
Do they call it best in show?
No, I'm calling it.
Oh.
I'm calling them the best in show. You know, the best
like
of,
horses
of the-
lined up?
Sure, exactly.
Okay.
And so, you know, these 15 or whatever Craigslist personals, they're the best of the best.
Yes.
Cream
yes.
of the crop.
Mm-hmm. All right. Interesting. All right. So now, what other things about Fan Expo? So was it now, Miss Sarah? Was it an overall good experience for you for Fan Expo? Would you go again?
I think after I changed my attire and experienced a little bit more, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the local artist aspect.
That's
of
one
it.
Of my favorite parts too.
Just because. You know, it's not like you see things that you wouldn't necessarily see every day. Like, I'm a big fan of art. I know absolutely nothing about comics. I can name you off a few superheroes, and that's about it. And, you know, as for celebrities, I don't really agree with necessarily the amount of money that they're asking. Yes, they're famous. Yes, they have their things. But $250 for Hulk Hogan personally.
Right.
He filmed
himself
going to the bathroom. So, I mean.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, why would he do that?
I don't know why he filmed himself and he put it on YouTube. And I believe there is a X-rated tape with him, too. So.
That's ridiculous.
You know, $250.
That's uncalled for.
Oh, but that's just what culture is these days,
Chris.
Well,
you know. Speaking of culture, so Rob Ford, who is the, you know, supposed crack addict, you know, I mean, I'm not saying anything, but remember.
Well, you just said he's a crack addict.
No, I'm saying supposed, remember, because there was.
So you don't have any proof.
I have no proof.
But you're accusing him.
I'm not accusing him of anything. I'm saying that there was a supposed tape of him supposedly, you know, smoking crack. And he is the mayor of Toronto, Rob Ford. And he wrestled Hulkamania himself, Hulk Hogan.
Do you mean arm wrestled?
Arm wrestled, sorry. Not
oh,
wrestled.
Boy. You know, I fear seeing the two of them get in an actual ring and try and throw each other into turnbuckles.
Throw a big
I don't even know
bucket of grease in there and you're all set.
Oh, this isn't mud wrestling, Chris. Take your fantasies and keep them away from here. We only fantasize about comic books,
right,
here, Chris.
Right.
Not so, mayors. Mud wrestling Hulk Hogan.
Anyways, apparently Rob Ford beat the Hulkster in an arm wrestle.
Well, you know what? You smoke enough crack, you can do just about anything, Chris.
So are you saying that he is a crack smoker?
Well, I'm saying, should you do such things?
Oh, I see.
Which
okay.
I do not encourage.
Oh, okay, right. Okay.
Maybe anything's possible.
Oh, it's very, very true. Yeah, very, very true. Now, Shecky. No, you were you were there set up for. We have to give a little bit of a plug to Night of the Living Dead Live.
Okay.
You were there set up for Night of the Living Dead Live.
I was.
As well. How did you find the show for yourself?
You know what? It was good. We were next to like the video gaming and like some of the corporate booths, though. We weren't in the fray of the retail, and we actually were a little bit of a retail establishment, so it kind of defeated what our goal was a little bit.
Right,
Because we were selling tickets. You know, we were selling tickets at the booth, selling merchandise. Fangoria was there, so they had a big display of magazines.
Right.
We were giving some of those away. Evil Dead the Musical buddied up with us, so it was... Night of Living Dead Live plus Evil Dead the Musical that's coming back to Toronto for October.
Nice.
At the end of our show, they pretty much take over. So zombies and horror in some
way. Is it going to be at the same theater?
No. Oh. It's at a bigger, you know, prestigious theater. Yeah.
Much more prestigious.
Well, they've got 10 years of you know, experience.
Has it been 10 years? Evil Dead's been around, the musical's been around 10 years?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
So it's coming back and, you know, they sold like gangbusters. They're doing great. But so we buddied up, you know, we showed them the way of the Fan Expo. Because we're the fans, right?
That's right.
You know, they had never seen a Fan Expo before, so we showed them the ropes. You know, we acted like the cool cats on campus and everything. But it was great. It was a very, very, I say, positive experience, and I say that because just having a raffle for four tickets for each show is what we were doing. You know, and a VIP sort of treatment for each of those nights. You know, really stirred up the crowd, and everyone was dying to win these tickets. So so many people were filling out ballots, and I mean, yeah, of course, we sold some tickets. Evil Dead sold some tickets and everything. But you know what? That's really what you need. You need something that's free, something that everyone who goes. You're paying $40 for a ticket. You're paying $18 for a hot dog. You're paying $380,000 for Hulk Hogan's autograph. You're paying all this exorbitant amount of money all these things.
Yeah, it's very true.
They want to get some of the free stuff, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they don't go there to spend money on everything they do. You know,
they're
not paying for the air they're breathing while they're there.
No, you're absolutely right.
So you do something like that, and they really appreciate it, and they were very fun.
Everybody's got to get some swag once they get there,
exactly.
Right? They got to get some free bags and pins.
Exactly. And people love taking photos as well, so we each set up there was an Evil Dead musical display, a Night of the Living Dead live display. They took some pictures with it. They were interactive.
Yeah.
It was great. It was a great time.
Awesome, awesome. All right. Listen, let's have a quick musical interlude, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about Fan Expo and all the other kind of famous comic book stuff.
Thank you.
Krantz.
That's all you got to say. Ah, Krantz.
Ah, Krantz. I think it speaks for itself.
Well, it really does. So that is, of course, the old Spider-Man cartoon theme songs from the 1960s. That one's called The Scarf. Now, we only have about 10 minutes left or so.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk a little bit more about Fan Expo and – oh, yeah, we do have 10 minutes left. Now, Sarah, now, did this inspire you by going to this show to actually look at any more artwork or get, you know, go to like, start looking at comic books or go to see certain movies or anything like that?
No.
Really? Nothing at all, eh?
Well then, okay, the show's done.
Whew, we got another 9 minutes to fill.
Yeah, huh.
No. I mean, I love looking at the artists and things like that. As for comic books, it's not my thing.
Right.
I have no problems learning about them. I have no problems appreciating the artists and appreciating the talent that comes along with it. But as for reading them myself, it's not something I personally choose to get into.
Now, would you ever go to the show again and would you dress up as, like, I know you're not a big comic book fan, but I remember in the past you and I have talked and you've said, you know, you might go as like a black cat or something like that. Is that something you'd still consider doing? Or now after experiencing that weekend, are you like, no, I'm out, I'm done, never again?
Well, no, definitely. I would definitely do Black Cat. I do enjoy the dressing up aspect of it and things like that that come along with it. As for, again, reading,
Nope, you're out. All right.
All right, then we won't push that.
We won't push it. All right, just curious. Got to know exactly how you felt about Fan Expo, and that's good to know. All right, listen, we do have to keep on moving along here. We have to talk about the Joe Shuster Awards, which also we were at the Fan Expo this last weekend.
The big Canadian Awards for comic books.
Big Canadian Awards. It's kind of like the Junos, you know, but for comics, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So listen, the big I don't want to talk too long about this stuff, but we have to talk about a few of the main key points.
Absolutely.
So we've talked about Jeff Lemire, who did Sweet Tooth and The Underwater Welder and Animal Man. He won for Outstanding Cartoonist, and then we have Outstanding Artist was Isabelle Arsenault for Jane Le Renard and Moi. And that's by La Pastique, in case you're looking for that, and also The Fox and Me. We had a few people who were inducted into the Canadian Comic Book Hall of Fame. We had Murray Carn and Vernon Miller were inducted. Which
Vernon
is nice.
Miller, which, you know, there was a Canadian Whites panel.
Yeah.
Which our, you know, our lovable Walter Duralia was actually on.
Yes.
You know, but he's still got some funny mouth troubles, you know.
Yeah, so he's still going with that.
He was there, he made an appearance, and you know what? Vernon Miller, you know, started with all the Canadian Whites.
Yep.
I think it was the second comic that came out during that era.
I think you're right, yeah.
And he kept with the original, you know, creation of all of those sort of Whites, and very strong historical figure.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And, of course, speaking of panels, we had a very strong Captain Canuck panel at the show
as
well.
We did.
You know, that was hosted by, we had the creator of Captain Canuck, Mr. Richard Cumley was there.
Mm-hmm.
Walter was there. You know,
I think the production team all behind their web series.
That's
was
right.
There.
That's
and
right.
They actually premiered the second webisode.
Yes.
At the panel.
Yes.
And then it went up later that night or something.
But you know what? Interesting thing about that particular panel was it was sold out. I mean, as much as sold out, you know, I mean, it wasn't sold out because it didn't cost.
Right.
But standing room only.
Packed house.
Packed.
400 people, Chris.
Yeah. Came to see the second webisode of Captain Canuck. Captain Canuck is going to be big.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guaranteeing this in the near future. There's a resurgence of Captain Canuck going on right now. And if you have a number one, I highly suggest you get it signed.
Right. And he was signing at the Big B booth.
He was signing at the Big B booth.
For the Friday, Saturday, and it was busy. And I know you were wrangling that guy.
I was wrangling. You know what? I had to wrangle him because there were so many people there who wanted to get his autograph and talk to him and get his picture. It was hard to keep up with the number of people that were there.
Was it hard to keep up with his demands? Like, did he need yellow M&Ms or
something?
No.
He's a great guy. You know,
yeah.
A great guy. He actually wants to be back on the show again sometime soon.
Really?
We've had him on about 4 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago when we first started this radio show.
Well, we need to have him again. We need
to have
his
him
updates.
Again. Absolutely. That's right. And,
perfect.
You know, Captain Canuck is going to be big again. I guarantee it. We just completely got sidetracked here.
We threw it in.
A couple other things we really have to mention here is Canadian Comic Book Retailer Award went to Heroes in London, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And Outstanding Cover Artist went to Mike Del Mundo, and he did work on Amazing Spider-Man, The Hulk, Cirque du Soleil, and Marvel Zombies Destroy. So lots of great things going on there.
Wow, perfect. And hey, most Bitterman in show at the Schuster's?
Yeah.
Walter Duralia not getting his honorable mention on the pamphlet, because I was at the show.
Right.
On the pamphlet for the, he's one of the Hall of Fame members.
Yeah, he was one of the board. That's right. He was he's on the directors or whatever you want to call
what?
It.
What? What is this? Why I didn't get my name. Where's
didn't
my
get
name?
A dinner. Never got a dinner.
Never got a dinner.
Listen, we only have a couple minutes left here. We do have to talk about the Hammertown Comic Con coming up October 5th.
Are we finally done talking about the Fan Expo?
I think we're done. I think there's lots to talk about, but I think we're done talking about the Fan Expo.
Okay, let's move on to another convention.
Yeah, because in case you didn't finish your convention scene, if you missed Fan Expo, if you missed the Niagara Comic Con, there is the Hammertown City Comic Con coming up in October 5th in Hamilton, Ontario. I believe it's going to be at the Hamilton Convention Center, although I could be wrong.
I believe so.
Hamilton Convention Center. Now, as far as guests to that show, so you're saying, why would I want to go to that show?
Why would I want to go, Chris?
Exactly. You know what? So, if you're a fan of Back to the Future, they're going to have guests. Guests from the movie Back to the Future are going to be there. Celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Our good friend from Degrassi Junior High, Mr. Joey Jeremiah himself, is going
to
be there.
Pat Mastroianni
is going to be there. Lots of great artists and creators: Leonard Kirk and Greg Hyland. Lots of local guys. Lots of great local talent.
A couple
will
Star
be there.
Trek guys. So they're trying to right away start the sci-fi lead with the comics and the film and everything.
I think it's Armin Shimerman who played Quark is going to be there from Deep Space Nine, and the guy who played the hologram doctor. I don't remember what his name is right now, but he will also be there. What's that?
Isn't it Q?
Q. I don't know about that. I don't know. Anyways, so he is also going to be there, but there's going to be lots of guests coming out to the Hammertown City Comic Con. Mm-hmm. And not that we're trying to plug Big B Comics at all, but if you did want to go, you can pick up your tickets ahead of time at Big B Comics.
I think they're the exclusive sales depot for all
Depot.
The HammerCon tickets, actually. So.
Now, Miss Sarah, would you be going to the Hammertown City Comic Con?
Unfortunately, I have another event that day.
Oh.
I have been telling people. I heard that there's the wrestlers to the Demolition Brothers or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to be there too. So I have been making it known that if they're not going to be going to the one thing that I'm at, they can go to the other.
What thing? Now, did you want to say what you're going to? Or no? Yeah, she's shaking her head. She does not want to talk about what she's going to. I think it's. You know what? I think she's going to a party without us.
You know what? We never got a dinner.
Got an invite. Never got a dinner. Very disappointing.
Well, you know what? If she's going to the ballet, though, then I'll let her go. I'll let her go.
She's going to see Pavarotti or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. My uncle filled in for him.
Your uncle filled in for Pavarotti?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Ben Heppner. He's an opera singer. He filled in for Pavarotti.
You mean he stole his seat once at a dinner or something?
No, I think he forgot to feed him.
All right. Okay, well, listen, I think that is all the time that we have for today, unfortunately.
Yes, I think so, Chris, but that wraps it conclusive. And you know what? We're not going to talk about Fan Expo for another 360 days.
At least another 100 days anyways. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by Andrew Roebuck, who is sitting to my right. We do appreciate the lovely Miss Sarah coming in. She's sitting to my left. And we have, thankfully, we have Shecky Feldstein, who is sitting in for Walter Duralia, who is unfortunately still a little bit under the weather. For comments and suggestions, please visit www.comicbookdaily.com and click on the podcast link. Scroll to the comments field and add your comments. You can also hear us on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com.
And remember to go to your local comic book retailers and pick up the new this week that was mentioned, as well as the slew of others.
A slew of others, and go out and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a great day.